Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody today. I hope you have your Bible open to Ephesians 6. We're going to read together a little bit in just a moment. And while you're getting your Bible open and settled and ready to study with us, we take just a minute and express our appreciation for the opportunity to be with you today. I have remembered fondly our time together several years ago. It's been 8 or 9 years ago now, I guess. And I remember that time and enjoyed that very much and very happy that we can be together again. And certainly hope that what we're studying this week will be a benefit to all of us as we think about Extreme Makeover Home Edition, thinking about some things about home and family as God has talked to us about. This morning in this period, we're going to talk a little bit about honoring mom and dad. And I think that will affect virtually everybody in here in some way. This afternoon, in the two sessions, we're going to talk, first of all, about some of the challenges of marriage, a very candid conversation about that. And the second lesson will be God's blueprint for a marriage, and those two lessons are designed to dovetail together. And so that's what we'll do this afternoon. We hope you can be with us then. Tomorrow night, we want to talk to moms and dads about parenting by the book. Tuesday night, we want to talk about money and marriage and the will of God, a challenge to everybody in these economic times, and how we can be stewards of what God has given us as He wants. And then Wednesday night, I want to talk about remembering and honoring our vows. And so we hope that all of that will be helpful in some way to us as we try to make our way to earth and heaven, and as our families are a great help to us as God wants them to be in that endeavor. I want to talk a little bit this morning about honoring mom and dad. I want to clarify what we're going to talk about in just a minute, but I want to say, first of all, how much I appreciate all the young people that I saw flowing into this auditorium at the end of the class period. I am very high on our young people. I will tell you, I live in a community where I interact with hundreds of young people every year. And I will tell you honestly, I do not now, nor have I ever subscribed to the philosophy that our young people are a generation lost. I just don't believe that. I have come to believe that we have among us some of the best and brightest, some of the most moral and ethically sensitive young people to be found anywhere. I appreciate our young people, and I hope you do as well. And I'll tell you the other side of that is that I appreciate moms and dads. And I think the reason we have such wonderful young people among us now is because we have moms and dads who care about their children, about growing the nurture, the whole training and admonition of the Lord, and have not made that just a Sunday issue in their lives, but just the kind of way they live their life at home and at school, and as they recreate themselves, it's become who and what they are. I will tell you that I don't believe it's easy to be a young person in America. I am 54 years old, and so it's getting harder and harder for me to remember what it was like to be young. But I do remember a little bit. I remember that young people oftentimes have their self-worth calculated through the unholy triumvirate of looks and intelligence and money. And so heaven help in America, the poor child whose parents are not money, or who is not handsome or beautiful, or who can't score 1,500 on their SATs. Now, we look at that and we say, you know what, those are the world standards. Those aren't God's standards. And I understand that, and you understand that. But that's a challenge for young people. Because I'll guarantee you, there's not a young person in this audience who hasn't been judged at some point in time by those superficialities. And beyond that, young people have the challenge of having to deal with their parents. Most young people discover early on that mom and dad are not perfect. And most young people, if they're between the ages of 11 and 18, they come to believe that probably mom and dad's first thought when their feet hit the floor in the morning is, how can I make my kids suffer today? And I just say, that's really not true. That's really not our first thought. Maybe our second or third thought, but not our first thought. It's kind of like my daughter. When my daughter was a teenager, she was exasperated with me one day, and she said, "Dad, do you think it's your job just to make my life miserable?" And I said, "Oh no, honey, it's not my job. It's one of the perks." Well, that probably wasn't my finest parenting moment, I regret you. But the fact of the matter is, children, all children, in American culture, have a challenging job. I want us to read a little bit in Ephesians 6, the beginning of verse 1. The verses we read a moment ago, look at them very carefully. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And so honor your mom and dad, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." I want you to notice that in verse 2, the Apostle Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments, God's Ten Words. Now, being the good Bible student you know that the first four of the Ten Commandments are vertical in their nature. That is, they deal with our relationship with God. And so the first four are, you shall have no other gods before me, you can make no graven images, do not ever dishonor my name in any way, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so the first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with man and his relationship with God. Now, the next of those commands are horizontal in nature. They have to do with our relationships with each other. And so do not commit murder and do not commit adultery and never steal anything at all. Tell no lies to each other ever and never covet anything that anyone else has. But I want you to notice, ladies and gentlemen, that the pivotal commandment is the fifth commandment, and that is honor your father and your mother. Honor your mom and dad. The pivotal command is that. Well, why? Well, the answer obviously is because we learn to respect God by learning to respect our parents. We learn to respect others by learning to respect our parents. And so that vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others, we learn to be able to have that and that by being able to respect mom and dad. We learn something there that is critically important. Think about that. When young people learn to respect their parents, then they will know how to respond to a policeman or to a teacher or to a church leader or to a lawmaker or to an employer. But by the same token, ladies and gentlemen, when a child is successfully disrespectful in their home, it's a prelude to disrespect and rebellion spiritually and relationally. If a child disrespects and dishonors and defies their mom and dad, what chance does a teacher have? If a child defies their mom and dad, then what chance is an employer going to have? If a child grows up getting their way by pouting or screaming or manipulating, then what chance is a marriage partner going to have with that person? For that matter, what chance is God ever going to have with that person? No wonder God says, honor your father and your mother. It will be better for you in life if you will learn to obey your mom and dad. Now, children who do that, it's just another illustration that God really does know and understand what is for our good. How to have harmonious life while we are a child and while we are an adult. So, let's define something here. When we talk about children and honoring mom and dad, we're talking about a broad spectrum here, aren't we? You may be here this morning and be 6 years old, or maybe 16 years old, or maybe you are 60 years old. And if you have a living parent, you are still a child. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you are 6 and 16 or 60 or 7 or 17 or even 70. If you have a living parent, then something we're going to say this morning will apply to you. Whether you are very young or whether you are older, but you still have a mom and or a dad who are alive, there will be something here for you this morning. So let's kind of just run the spectrum from very young to older people who still have a mom and dad who are alive. Let's begin at the very earliest ages. Let's talk about those in our youth. Now, in your youth, the basics that we have to offer to mom and dad are very simple. You love and you honor and you obey. You love mom and dad, you honor them, and the way you show that you love and honor them is that you obey them. I read a survey in the spring of this year that said 94% of high school seniors say that they love their mom and dad. I was very heartened by that. Think about everything that you hear about the disintegration of family in American society. And 94% of high school seniors are saying, I love my mom and dad. I found that to be a very encouraging thing. Now, the question is, how are mom and dad supposed to know that you love them? Well, Paul says the way you do that is that you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. I want you to look at that carefully. It doesn't say if you have perfect parents. It doesn't say if you feel like obeying. It doesn't say if you happen to agree with what mom and dad are asking you to do. It just says, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. This is the way that they will know that you are honoring them. You love and you honor and you obey. And when I look at that, it seems to me that there are only two qualifiers that are given to that. One is that we are talking about children. And so there does come a point in time in all of our lives where we are no longer under the auspices of mom and dad. we're no longer under their authority. It doesn't mean that we don't have to still respect and honor them, but it means that there does come a point in time when we are no longer in their household and under their rule. And secondly, we have to do that in the Lord. It is conceivable that a mom or dad might ask a child to do something that would be in defiance of the will of God. They might ask you to lie for them or steal for them. I've known many circumstances where a young person was introduced to the Lord and wanted to be baptized, and their mom and dad said no. What do you do about that? Well, we have to obey God, not man. And so, children and in the Lord. Those are the only qualifiers that I see there. And so, like it or not, expressing love meaningfully includes obeying them. It's not optional equipment. It is in God's 10 words. Don't steal. Don't kill. Honor your mom and dad. Children, Paul wrote in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. If you have your Bible, let's go to Romans 1. These verses will not be on the screen. Most mom and dads know what we're about to read here. In Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, Paul is writing, and he just chronicles a long litany of crimes against God that were committed by the Gentile world. And he does here, as he does in so many places, he says, let me tell you what I'm talking about. And he talks about it in rapid succession as he lists them one after another. And so the question is, how seriously does God take this business of children obeying their moms and dads? Well, listen to what Paul wrote about the Gentile world in Romans 1, verse 28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a debased mind to do things that are not fitting. They are filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit. They are evil-minded. They are whisperers and backbiters. They are haters of God. They are violent and proud. They are boasters and inventors of evil things. They are disobedient to their parents. Wait a minute. How did that get there? How in the world did disobedient to parents get in a list that includes people who are murderers and haters of God and people who are evil-minded and full of ungodliness? How does being disobedient to your mom and dad get in a list like that? I think it's Paul's way of saying, look, God takes this seriously. And just like in the Ten Commandments, when you're dishonoring to your mom and dad, it will bear fruit in every other area and relationship of your life. And so he takes that extraordinarily seriously. To the young people in this audience, I want to suggest to you that your obedience be characterized by three things. So young people, if you're young and you're still at home with mom and dad, I want to suggest that you need to do three things. You need to obey mom and dad immediately. So I'm just asking you this morning, how many times do mom and dad have to tell you to do something before you do it? Now the bottom line is, eventually, you're going to do it anyway. Mom and dad, they're bigger than you, first of all. They can make you do it. But eventually, you're going to do that. And so I'm asking you, how many times do they have to ask you before you do that? Kids learn early on how far they can push mom and dad. They learn that when they're about 2 years old, and they can keep learning that all the way through their teenagers. They know how far they can push you. Toddlers learn that. They see how far they can push mom and dad. Every one of us have been in Walmart and Target and see a toddler have a meltdown in aisle 3. And here's a mom who doesn't know what in the world to do with this child. And so the mom's looking at this child who's just sprawled out on the floor and screaming and wanting their way. And the mom doesn't know what to do, and so she says, okay, listen, I'm telling you, okay, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to three, and if you haven't straightened up, you're really going to get it. Okay, I'm serious now. All right, here we go. One, two. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't straighten up, when I count to three, you're going to get it. Are you looking? One, two, two and a half. Now, I'm telling you, you've got to, and the child is thinking, this is great. I got a mom who can't even count to three. Well, I'm going to tell you, I know what to do with that child. But the fact is that children learn early on how far they can push. And once they've learned that, they will continue to push. And I'm saying to the young people in this audience, you need to obey your mom and dad immediately. Secondly, you need to obey them without complaint. The Bible says, Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and complaining. We typically quote that verse about having harmony in a local church, but that's not the total parameter around that, is it? And so you just need to obey without complaining. Why is it always my turn? You're not fair. Well, that doesn't. Eventually, you're going to obey. You may as well do it without complaint. And thirdly, you ought to obey wholeheartedly. That is, do what they ask you and do it right. And so when mom says, look, you've got to clean your room. I'm telling you, you can't live like that anymore. I went in your room this morning as I was going in. There were little roaches coming out saying, we can't live like that anymore. You've got to clean your room. When mom says that to you, I'm asking you, do you obey wholeheartedly? That is, do you do a good job? Or do you just go in and kick some stuff under the bed and throw stuff in the closet, knowing that mom's going to come in and not want the fight with you and just say, that's good enough. I'm just saying you need to do better. Now I know that when I say that, young people say to themselves, look, Don, if I obeyed immediately and without complaint and wholeheartedly, that would make me a slave. No, not really. If you obey immediately and without complaint and wholeheartedly, your mom and dad probably have a heart attack and die and you'd be free. I'm just saying, young people, you can make your life at home. You have the power, as you interact with mom and dad, to make life at home go so much better if you will honor mom and dad. Well, secondly, you grow and you head toward teenagers, and I'm not really talking exclusively to teenagers here, but actually those tween years before you're a teenager and then the teenage years, kind of that big broad group right there. And I would just say to the young people in this audience who find themselves there that you need to remember that your mom and dad need respect too. The one thing I know about young people is that they want their moms and dads to respect their ideas, their thoughts, and their feelings. And I would just say to you, that's a legitimate desire. But if you want mom and dad to respect your ideas and feelings and thoughts and wishes, then you must also respect your mom and dad's ideas and feelings and thoughts and wishes. And I'm just saying to you that you need to learn early on in life that to gain respect, you must give some respect. Now, with your mom and dad, I want to suggest you do two things. One is that you be very careful the way you talk to your mom and dad. If you talk to your parents with the volume too high, or as though you're correcting the family pet, or if you talk to mom and dad with antagonism, you're saying to your mom and dad, you're too old to understand. You don't love me. You're mean. You're unfair. You're not kind. You're, and you fill in the blank there. Let me just say, it's going to be very hard for your mom and dad to take you seriously. Nobody, ladies and gentlemen, responds to others favorably when they are spoken to in an unkind way. You don't with your mom and dad, and neither do your mom and dad with you. And then secondly, you need to make sure that you listen to what they say. Now, let me say this very clearly. I know that there's a tendency on the part of young people to think that your mom and dad don't understand. Now, honesty, I'll tell you honestly, that sometimes I think there's a part of that that's true. There are things that my kids, when they were teenagers, that they liked that I didn't understand. I just didn't get it. It didn't appeal to me. I didn't understand why it appealed to them, but it did. And so as long as it was all right, we weren't violating anything, it wasn't immoral, it wasn't improper, I can live with that. I understand. There are some things as an older person that I'm not going to understand in your life. I know that. But by the same token, young people, you need to understand that your mom and dad do have a perspective that you cannot have as yet. You have not been 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 or 40. Your mom and dad have been somewhere in that time continuum. And what that gives you is a bit of perspective that you can't have as a young person as yet. There's a reason Solomon said, my son, listen to the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. And young people, let me just say this to you. there are always going to be at least three areas that your parents are always going to be concerned about in your life. I don't care if you're very young or if you're older. There are some areas of your life your mom and dad will always be concerned about. They will always want to talk with you about your habits. Because moms and dads who experience know that it's much easier to form a habit than it is to break a habit. And so Moses told the truth when he said, as your days are, so will your strength be. That is, what you spend your time doing, that will become a part of you. And if it's something that it shouldn't be, if it's a part of your character that shouldn't be there, it will be very difficult in the future for you to break that. So parents will talk with you about that. They'll always want to talk with you about your friends. Always. Your mom and dad will always be concerned about who you are spending your time with. Moms and dads understand the reason why Paul began that verse with the words, do not be deceived. You may not understand that. Moms and dads do. Moms and dads know that it's easy for us to say, look, these people that aren't going to drag me down, I'm going to lift them up. And moms and dads know that usually that doesn't happen. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I came downstairs to breakfast one morning, and my dad was sitting at the kitchen table, which was very unusual. My dad suffered horrible insomnia, and so often he didn't go to sleep until daybreak. And so he was never up early. But this morning he was up when I went downstairs. And as I went downstairs, I noticed that he was sitting at the table, and I noticed that he was holding my car keys in his hand. I knew nothing good was going to come from this. And so I said, hey, Dad, how are you doing? Fine, son. Sit down. I knew that wasn't going to end well either. And so I said, what's on your mind? He said, son, we need to talk. He said, we need to talk about the people that you've been spending your time with. And I said, ah, Dad, I know what you're going to say, but you don't understand. Man, they're not dragging me down. I'm lifting them up, which was as far from the truth as it could be. Moms and dads know that. They will always want to have input about your friends. And your mom and dad will always be concerned about who you marry. And when they see you getting serious with someone, and they think that that may be leading to marriage, they will be concerned about that, because mom and dad understand that the one single person in this life who is going to make the most profound difference as to whether or not you go to heaven or you go to hell is going to be the person that you marry. And so they'll be concerned about that. And so, young people, you need to know that that's coming. I will tell you, young people, if you ever want to break your parents' heart, just disobey God's law. Your mom and dad will spend a lifetime asking, where did I go wrong? What could I have done differently? Where did I fail? Remember how you listen to your mom and dad. Open your heart to them and watch your words. Let's talk about those who are a little bit older. And I'm talking here now about older teenagers and those maybe who are in those last years of high school or first few years out of the home. But especially if you're still at home, but now you're a little bit older. I want you to understand that there's a time to accept responsibility. There's a time when you're little when you can get away with murder. I'm going to tell you, kids, when they are little, when they are toddlers, they just get away with almost anything because it's cute. We look at that and we say, isn't that cute? But there does come a time to grow up and accept some responsibility. So, if you are still at home and you're the older child in your home, I want you to understand that it's inevitable that in every family, in every relationship with parents and children, there are going to be some difficulties arise. Now, sometimes it's over fairly simple things. Maybe you're arguing about what time to be in from a date. But sometimes it's very meaningful things, where you have violated your parents' trust, and that trust is now broken. That is a serious matter. And I would just say to you that the tendency sometimes, as young people, and dealing with moms and dads when you're older, is try to deal with those problems in very unproductive kinds of ways. And so sometimes young people, when they deal with mom and dad, they tend to say things like they want to ignore and say, look, I don't have a problem. I mean, if you guys have a problem with this, fine. That's your problem, but it's not my problem. Sometimes young people try to make their moms and dad feel guilty. you know, if you really loved me, if you really cared about me, then you'd want me to be happy. You would want me to do this. You'd want me to be able to be with my friends. Sometimes young people attack their moms and dads. Look, I know why you're so strict with me. But just because you got in trouble when you were young doesn't mean that I'm going to make the same mistakes that you did. Terrible way to deal with your mom and dad. Sometimes young people exaggerate with mom and dad. You always say no. You never let me do anything. Young people, let me tell you something. When you deal with mom and dad, don't ever use the always or the never card. Because once you've done that, you've given them no room to negotiate with you. When you're saying always and never, then there's nowhere for mom and dad to go with you. Same's true with married couples. I always tell married couples, when you're talking to each other and you're upset with the other, don't ever say always or never, because you put now that person in a corner. There's nowhere to go with that. And usually by the same token, it's just not true. We usually don't always or never do anything. And sometimes young people compare. You know, my friend's parents let them do this. I don't know why you can't be more like them. They understand. You don't. Terrible way to deal with mom and dad. And sometimes the comparison is this. You're lucky I'm as good as I am. I mean, if you knew how bad half the kids at school were, you would think that I was just an angel in every way. I've got to tell you, I know that it's easy to trot out any or all of those, but it's not very productive. And so, young people, let me encourage you to do something better. When you deal with your mom and dad, number one, realize they have your best interest at heart. Young people, listen to me very carefully. If you don't get to hear anything else, hear this. Your mom and dad have never once, when they've got to make a decision about you, your mom and dad have never once said, "What's the worst decision we can make about this? Let's make a decision that will really mess up their lives." Your mom and dad have never done that. They have never once knowingly made a bad decision about you. They always have your best interest at heart. Secondly, deal with the issue at hand. And what I mean by that is, don't deal with the past. Your past or their past, and don't deal with the future. If you're saying to mom and dad, "I tell you what, when I am 18 years old, I am out of here." Well, fine, but that's not going to help anything that you're dealing with today, right here. Thirdly, discuss matters truthfully. Young people, let me tell you, if you ever lie to your mom and dad, you can know two things. One, it will come to the surface. Eventually, they will find out. And secondly, when that happens, you will have broken a bond of trust. And it will take you far longer to ever get that trust back than it would have taken to be honest and deal with whatever consequences may have come in the first place. Deal with matters truthfully. Ask for forgiveness when you're wrong. Because you know what? Sometimes you'll be wrong. Sometimes you will be wrong. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And by the same token, forgive your mom and dad when they're wrong. Because sometimes they'll make a mistake. I had to go back to my kids sometimes and say, "You know what? I didn't make the right choice about that. I'm sorry. I wish I would have made a better choice. But I didn't make the right choice about that. And I'm sorry." Moms and dads are not perfect, just like you're not perfect. And forgiveness is a part of life now, and it always will be. And then finally, seek to improve. I know this is hard for you to understand, but you're not perfect. There's room for you to make some progress and to grow. You can get smarter in life, and you will get smarter in life as time goes on. And so in that relationship with mom and dad, seek to improve. All right, and let's finish up this morning with this. I want to talk to every adult in this audience who has a living mom or dad. If you have a living parent, I'm talking to you. If you are younger and you're not an adult, I still want you to listen, because you need to hear some things about responsibilities that you'll have later in life for your mom and dad as they age. But if you have a living parent, this really is for you. You know, the Bible talks about a natural, God-defined respect that we're to have for older people. God always wanted that to be in place. And so you have statements like this. "You shall rise before the gray-headed, honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." Solomon said, "Listen to the father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." There is a natural regard that is to be given to moms and dads as they age. Now, I think that takes two forms. One is that there is a time to leave home. There's a time to leave home. Jesus said, and I'm sorry the PowerPoint messed up here, "For this reason a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two should become one flesh." But there's a time to leave mom and dad. Now, I realize in the economic environment that we have in America over the last 3 or 4 years that more adult children than ever have moved back home. I understand that. But even in that circumstance, there is an independence as we age that we are to have as we take responsibility for our adult lives. And so there's a time to leave home. But secondly, there is a care to be provided, and that's mighty important. And so Paul wrote to his young protege Timothy and said, "Look, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home." And look at this. "The children and grandchildren learn to repay their mom and dad. This is good and acceptable before God." It has always been God's will that children care for aging and aged parents. Jesus, in Mark 7, had a conversation with the Jews who had tried to find a way to circumvent that command under the law. And Jesus said, "This will not fly with God. You're saying, 'I'd love to help you, mom and dad. I know you need help. I have the means to help. I should help. But I'm not going to help because in my heart I've committed everything to God. And if I help you, it'd be like stealing from God.'" And Jesus said, "Do you think that God is fooled by that kind of sophistry? It's ridiculous." And Jesus reemphasized that there is a natural regard that we're to have for our parents as they age. Because the fact of the matter is that our moms and dads did a very difficult job. And from the time that our mother conceived us, for 9 months she carried us within her body. She allowed her body to become disfigured. She went through all the sickness of those early months. And then at birth, labor, or as my wife called it, entering the valley of the shadow of death, is a painful experience. And when we were babies, we were unbelievably demanding. I mean, when we were babies, if we wanted something, we just cried. We screamed and cried until mom and dad stopped whatever they were doing and took care of us. Ball games and school and practices and clothes and musical instruments and sports and costs. And the point of it is they did a difficult job and they did it gladly. It's interesting to me that when Jesus was dying, when he was enduring the most excruciating, agonizing death that had been devised as yet to take a human life, he made sure that he took care of his mother. I know countless people who, with their aged parents, are making sure that they are cared for. For some, that's visiting mom and dad daily. For some, it's agonizing over nursing home care that has to come now. I've known of many people who have built a little addition onto their house for aging parent or parents to live in. I've known of many who have had to care for their mom and dad financially and take care of them that way. There's a very real sense, ladies and gentlemen, that if you live long enough and your parents live, there's a real sense in which you will one day parent your parents. Unless you think that you can't afford that or you can't do that or it's too much of a burden, you just remember that they cared for you at a time when a few hours of neglect would have meant your life. Let me just close by saying that if you have a living parent, you need to cherish every moment that you have. Because the fact of the matter is that you will not have them forever. My mom and dad are both in heaven. And I miss them an awful lot. My dad died 18 years ago, last month. I was extremely close to my dad. We shared so much in common, we were very, very close. Still, after 18 years, when something really bad happens, one of my first thoughts is, I need to call Dad and talk to him about that. When something really great happens, I always think, I need to tell Dad about it. But I can't. I was going through an old box in our garage the other day trying to clean out some old things, and I came across the telephone that hung in our kitchen when we lived up in Indiana. It was one of those phones that had a list of little buttons down the front that you could just pick up the phone and punch a button and it would speed dial the person. And the first button, the little label just said, "Dad." And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I would give anything I own if I could just push that button and have 5 minutes to talk to my dad. But I can't do that. I do occasionally when I pray, say, "Father, I don't know if this is appropriate or not. If it is not appropriate, then please forgive me. But if it is appropriate, Would you please tell my mom and dad that I think about them, and that I miss them, and that I love them, and that I'm looking forward to seeing them." Honor your father and cherish every moment that you have. Thank you for listening so well this morning. Would you open your songbooks, please, to the number that was announced a moment ago? We're going to sing that song in just a second as a hymn of invitation. If you're in this audience this morning and you're not a child of God because you have never been baptized into Christ, so you've never risen to walk in newness of life, and this invitation is for you. And if you're His prodigal child, I know you care about that or you wouldn't be here this morning. There'll never be a better time for you to come home to God than today. So if there's a response that you need to make to God today in a public way, we can help you. We hope you'll let us. Let's stand. Let's sing.